Amen. Praise the Lord. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, till the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. Matthew 24 is the chapter of prophecy in the book of Matthew, dealing with the end of the world, the coming of the Lord, and very important things that we need to know about. And I want to just take this very first Sunday morning and title this, As It Was in the Days of Noah. As It Was in the Days of Noah. Let's pray together and let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Somebody lift your voice with me and let's pray together and ask for God's blessings. Thank you for the Word of God this morning. Thank you for the touch of your Spirit this morning. God, we lean on you. God, we put our confidence and trust in you this morning. I thank you. I praise you today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. So good to be here. And we are going to start off this prophecy series for the month of March with the Old Testament. The Old Testament is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. Amen. It is the teacher. It is the professor that gives us understanding of what is going to come in the New Testament. And so I wanted to start off with the Old Testament prophecies, at least the major ones, to see what they can say to us in this particular generation and in any generation as far as that goes. To be clear this morning, many generations have come and gone, and they have spoke in many generations that they have felt like they're the generation that the Lord is going to come. Many, many generations have felt that way. But what I would like to do this morning, I don't want to set any dates. I don't want to go into that kind of detail. But what I would like to do is present the facts this morning and give us all an invitation who will listen for that opportunity to escape the coming judgment that is coming upon our world. And the judgment is coming upon our world. And what I would like to do this morning is start with Noah, one of the very first prophetic stories in the Old Testament, is that timeless story of Noah and the ark. And I've ministered on this many, many times over the years. So y'all just stay with me here this morning. But as we go further in time, the evidence is really overwhelming that some major things are beginning to happen in our world. Amen. Some very climactic things are beginning to happen in our world. And we can parallel what is happening in our generation, what is happening in our world, to the story of Noah. As we go further in time, there is more and more of a mountain of evidence to the point that it is an overwhelming body of evidence that shows conclusively that there was a cataclysmic worldwide flood that took place. Amen. And it's not just a story that's written in the Bible, but it does sound like a very fantastic story. What I'd like to do is to examine this story from a few different angles so that we can use it as a perspective of where we are today. Amen. And from a historical point of view, I'd like to just touch on that. From an archaeological point of view, I want to touch on that. But more than that, from a spiritual point of view, we can look at where we are today and where Noah was in his day. Amen. So first, what we need to look at is, did the flood really happen? Is it just a story that we read in the Bible, or did it really, really happen? And is there evidence that it did happen? The truth of the matter is that every major civilization and civilizations as civilizations that are not even with us today, we found their writings, and they all speak of a flood that covered the earth. You would have to ask yourself the question, why would it be that they would have those stories if it did not happen? The truth of the matter is, this morning, it did happen. Praise God. And even the nation of Israel, of course, because they have the scriptures, have believed in the flood since the very beginning. And of course, we can look at history. We can look at the historical writings of different civilizations and different people. And sometimes people write and they modify and they add to and they build it up to make it a bigger story. And so some of the things that that we read are suspect. And we could say, well, did it really happen? It was it just a story that went from generation to generation? But from an archaeological point of view, or from a historical point of view, rather, we can see that there are critics that have come along, and they have said that the Bible isn't true, it is not historically true, and in fact, the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis is a tremendous story, a very fantastic story, that over the years was said to be a myth and did not happen, could not have happened. But as they begin to look at it from an archaeological point of view, we can see that the history that is written in the Word of God was actually true and right and accurate, because they found a clay tablet or a clay cuneiform that told the story. You can read about it. You can actually read the translation of it, that there was the building of the tower, and then there was the confusing of the languages, and they left off to build it. Amen. And so what we can see from this is that the critics are not always right. Amen. And it was also said to be a myth that the biblical figure David, King David, was not an actual person until they found an artifact that named him specifically, and it was dated to the year that he lived. Amen. And I could really go on and on this morning with many different examples of historical references. The story of the lust of the people as they were passing through the wilderness, desiring meat, they became complaining, they became weary of the way, and they said, we're tired of this manna. And as far as I can tell, it was only 3 days after they had left Mount Sinai. And not very long had they been on the journey, but they began to murmur and began to complain and began to say this, that, and the other. And the Lord was very angry with the people, according to the writing in the scripture. And it says that God sent quail among them. He gave them the desire of their heart. And if you do a little examination of the dimensions of how far the diameter was, it was a 50-mile diameter of quail, and it was some 3 feet deep on the earth. And there were feathers flying everywhere. People were eating the meat raw, and as they had it in their teeth, a plague struck them, and many people died in the wilderness right there. 3 days from Mount Sinai, and so they began to look about 3 days' journey from Mount Sinai, And lo and behold, in the middle of the desert, they found a cemetery and tombstones and rocks to lay out around the outer edges of the cemetery. And on the tombstones were Hebrew inscriptions. No Hebrews had ever lived in that area, but it was a cemetery for Hebrews. On the tombstones were also found carvings of quail. Amen. And so what I'm just using that as an example this morning to let you know that the critics are not always right. Amen. They're not always right. And in fact, when we look at the story of Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, make eight children of the Lord that were saved. And in fact, one of the oldest civilizations in our day today would be China. And the number eight in Chinese is a boat with eight people in it. And it has survived almost 1,000 years. And you have to say this event really did take place. Amen. From a archaeological or geological point of view, we can also see that the flood actually happened. And we can look and you can do a study. There is much evidence today, much more than there used to be. But there are layers of sediment. And they tell a story. They say that the layers of rock and sediment, so on and so forth, represents different ages of time. That they represent a millennial, 1,000 years or 1,000,000 years. And it says, or they say rather, that it is proof that the earth is much, much older than 6,000 years. But I believe that the earth is 6,000 years old. Amen. I do, because the Word of God says it. And so what they have found in these different layers of soil, I was doing a little bit of reading about it. There's a lot of great information about it. Very common people can understand this information and make a judgment based upon it. But what they have discovered in many places all over the earth is there is a cliff, or there might be a cliff, and there are different layers. The bottom layers are bigger stones, heavier stones. The next layer is a little bit lighter, and so on all the way to the very top where it is topsoil, and it is the lightest of all. They have found in all over the world, rather, that there are trees. A tree that is standing upright in all of those layers of sediment. And we don't know of any trees that are millions of years old that grew from the very bottom to the very top. When Mount St. Helens erupted here in America, which is probably not the largest eruption, if you ever get a look at that eruption, it was quite amazing. As it blew out that side of the mountain, all of the trees on that side of the mountain were destroyed. They were knocked over. Some of those trees were 12 feet in diameter, and they were torn out of the ground. They were knocked completely over. The whole side of that mountain looked like you would take a box of matchsticks and just poured them out. That's exactly what it looked like. Downwind, if you please, from that explosion, there is a lake. And in that lake, now this has been about, I don't know how many years. I remember we were in Boston, so that was in the 80s, the early 80s, late 70s. I forget the date. So it's only been about 40 years, I think, 30 or 40 years since that erupted. And it blew a lot of these trees into this lake. And the trees of course, still had the root system, and so they showed the picture of these trees floating upright in the water because it was heavier on the root system than it is the other part of the tree. And they actually have found some of those trees that have already fossilized in the water. And for them to say that this fossilization takes millions of years is really not accurate at all. It's not accurate. Amen. Something cataclysmic happened to our world because God said that it would happen. Amen. And they have discovered not only that, but they have discovered where a couple of peaks and a valley going up to the top of the mountain. At the very top of the mountain, they have found scores of animal bones that are buried in the sediment. Different animals that don't live together, animals that would eat one another, all piled up into that one place as though they were trying to escape a flood of water until it overthrew them. Amen. So many, many different things that we could look at to prove this. Some have said that there's not enough water on the earth to cause that kind of a flood. Well, we know in the Bible that in the beginning the earth was without form and void, and water covered the face of the deep. And when the Lord said, "Let the land appear," there was a moving and a shaking in the tectonic plates of our world, and the continents rose up out of the sea. It was just recently found and discovered that underneath the surface of the earth, there is an ocean of water that's just as big as the ocean that is above the water, above the ground. Amen. And the Bible doesn't say that it covered the earth by rain. Of course, the rain fell, so the water that was above came down, and we know that it can hold a lot of water up above. But it also says that the deep was broken up, and the fountains of the earth were broken up, and obviously there was a moving and shaking, and the continents sunk again as the waters covered the earth. It was not something that happened in a year or two. It was something that happened immediately. It was just a matter of a few days, and the earth was destroyed. Everything that had breath within it was destroyed. I want you to know that the Word of God is true this morning. It is absolutely true. Amen. And so, when you look at it with an open heart and an open mind, first of all, we have to ask ourselves, is the story of Noah true? And if you look at it with an open mind and an open heart, you'll have to conclude that the story of Noah is absolutely true and it did take place. Amen. So many, many different proofs that we have today that we didn't have years and years ago. But if the story of Noah did happen, and I believe that it did, and there are many proofs to prove that, then what we've got to look at the story of Noah is the fact that Jesus brought it up, and he said it would be like it was in the days of Noah. And so we've got to look at it from a spiritual standpoint. We have to see and measure it to our generation and to what is taking place in our world today. Amen. It didn't happen overnight. It took 120 years, estimated 120 years for that ark to be built. We are seeing some things that are happening in the church. We are seeing some things that are slowly beginning to build. Amen. We look like we're in the minority, but friend, I'm telling you, saint of God, I'm telling you this morning, if you're with God, you're in the majority. Even if you're the only one that's heard that word from God, amen, we are in the majority. Thank God for that. We have hope tonight. This morning, rather. It's not tonight yet. Amen. There's a lot of things that we can look at, but Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as it was in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And so, first of all, what we need to look at is what Jesus said, that they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. But we know that it was more than just business as usual, because I look at that and I say, it really looks like business as usual. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. There's nothing wrong with marrying and giving in marriage. Nothing wrong with going to work and providing for your family. That's exactly what took place. But there was something more that took place. But let me just deal with this part of it first. We can get so caught up in our everyday lives and the things that we do on a regular basis that I'm afraid there is going to be a percentage of the church that is going to be left behind when the Lord comes. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Amen. As time goes on, some become offended by this, that, and the other, and they fall away. And then there is the Laodicea church, the church that is not led by revival or the love for souls, but they have become rich and they have need of nothing, according to their own words. And the Lord said, you are naked, you are poor, you are miserable. Folks, I'm telling you, we've got to get serious about living for the Lord. If you're not serious about living for the Lord, the day of judgment may come upon this earth as a snare to you, and you won't have the opportunity to pray. You won't have the opportunity to help build the ark. Amen. Because it will all be finished, and you'll be on the outside, and the door will be shut. Amen. And so when we look at it in that respect, we need to look at what is taking place in our world today. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, and you don't have to turn there, that the world was wicked and that that there was basically anarchy in our world. Everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes. And when that happens, when there is no code of morality, when anything goes, all you can have is wickedness and injustice that takes place. That's all you can develop. Excuse me. And we are seeing that in our world today. I know we're talking a lot about making America great and all of that, and I'm all for making America great. And I think it's really wonderful what's taking place in our time today. But I have this underlying fear within me. And it is an underlying fear that this is just a space of time that God is giving America. Anybody else feel that way this morning? I feel like it is just a small window that God is giving America. He is giving us a space, a time to repent, but I don't see that there is a great repentance in our country. I don't see that there are people that are taking the time and rallying around prayer and rallying around repentance and confessing sins and saying, God, we need you desperately. We need you more than anything. What we are seeing is a rallying cry to political things. Amen. We are seeing a rallying cry for the youth to gather around political activism. Amen. Whatever side of the aisle they might be, there is a political activism that is taking place. And our world is really coming to the place, I believe. Now, not everyone, not the church, of course, But there is a widespread push for government, amen, for political things to take place. Well, if we just had the political will, we could get this done. And the truth of the matter is there's going to come a time when the world will rally around that one individual. We know him as the Antichrist, and we will, as a world, we will be rallying around evil and wickedness. We are seeing it rise up before our very face today. Amen. We are seeing it in nations. We are seeing it in the country of China, an atheistic country that believes not in God, but believes in the power of government. And they are rising. They are rising as an economic power in our world. They are the second largest economic power now in the world, and many are fearing them. They are reaching out into the South China Sea, and they are claiming land that was not theirs, and they are saying it is ours now. They are literally building artificial islands and putting landing strips, and now they have missiles, and bombers and fighter jets and all of that on these islands. And we are pushing against them. But I'm telling you, if we had somebody different in the White House, they would not be pushing as hard as we're pushing today. Russia just recently stated that they have now developed a hypersonic missile that will go over 7 times the speed of sound, and it will be able to hit any target in America. Just a couple of days ago, Vladimir Putin said that if America doesn't do what he wants, they are going to target different cities, and he named them. And he said, this missile, no one has anything fast enough to shoot it down. There is no way that you will be able to defend yourself against it. And some would say, well, it's just talk. But I'm telling you, there's another atheistic country that does not believe in God that is rising, amen, and claiming that they will destroy. Amen. We have seen just in the last few days, these are recent events. North Korea is not wanting to get rid of its nuclear weapons. They now have the ability, from what I've read, they have missiles that can hit Japan. They have missiles that can hit America, that can hit parts of California and different places in this country. Again, it is an atheistic country that does not believe in God, does not believe in the Bible, the Word of God, and these are all sitting at a place, if you please, with their finger on a trigger, and all it would take is one little provocation, and our world could be literally destroyed in a matter of an hour. Amen. India and Pakistan, just in the last couple of days again, India and Pakistan have had a conflagration with each other. A couple of fighter jets were shot down and bombs were dropped, and it has always been a hot spot in the Kashmir area. And today they're saying that it could be an all-out breakout of war. They're talking peace right now, but they're saying that it could be an all-out war. And again, India and Pakistan are both countries that are nuclear armed and have the ability to destroy and kill a lot of people. Amen. Never before in the history of the world have we had as much ability to destroy one another as we have in 2019. Never before. Amen. And the nuclear bombs are so powerful that they can literally melt the elements with a fervent heat. Amen. They literally have that ability. I want you to know that we cannot sit on the sidelines and say to ourselves, prayer doesn't work. I'm telling you, we need to pray. Praise God. That church is not important. I'm telling you, if we ever need to hear the Word of God, it's the day that we're living in today. And it's very similar. We see the anarchy in our world. We see the rising in our world that says we don't need that message from that old crazy man Noah. We don't need to do this or that or the other. We've got our own ships. We've got our own boats. And we'll be able to make it through this time of flood. But it was not to be because God said it would not be. Amen. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And so he referenced the story of Noah and the truth of that story to the generation that the coming of the Lord would take place. Amen. And it speaks to us of the last days. And I want to look at another scripture that would parallel the days of Noah. And that would be 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 through 5. Let's turn there this morning. If you have your Bible, turn with me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days, everybody said the last days. In the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now that is not insignificant there. It is not insignificant. We are literally living in a generation that is only concerned about self. And if it doesn't come my way, I'm going to be upset. If somebody offends me, well, that is a crime. And we are literally at that place. We're in a selfie generation. And I'm not just talking about America. I'm talking about most of your developed countries in the world are now connected. Amen. Connected to that apple with the bite out of it. Amen. Think about that. The apple with the bite out of it, which represents eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You're going to be like God. It is a self-centered belief. It is a self-centered message that you have everything within yourself. Praise God. And he said it would be like this in the last days. The last days. And then he says, they will be covetous. In other words, they only want what they want. They're not concerned about anybody else. Boasters, proud. Oh my, there is so much pride in our world today. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. There is so much of it in our world. Blasphemers. Oh, there's just so much of that in our world today. I was in line yesterday to buy something, and someone that used to come here a little bit in our Sunday school area was standing in line in front of us and standing there with her mother, and I said, "Hi, how are you doing?" And we got into a conversation about the church and got into a conversation about the Bible, and she brought up Bible study. And if I named her, you'd know who I'm talking about. But as they left, we were coming out behind them, and I said, "Well, we hope to see you soon." I said, "Maybe what you ought to do is bring your mother with you and come on to church." And I was trying to be friendly and kind, and her mother began to get upset and said, "I've got a real problem with religion. That's my problem." And just begin to rant against the church. In the last days, there will be blasphemers. There will be people that will buy into the story that the church is just an organization of man and it has no reality in it whatsoever. I'll tell you, there are a lot of them that fit into that category. But when we're talking about the truth of the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord and this baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptism in His name, amen, I've found it to be real. Praise God. And there's going to be blasphemers. There's going to be those that are disobedient to parents. Now think about this. We're not talking about a situation where he says there's going to be this country with missiles and that country with missiles. He's really talking about personally how you and I and how our world is going to be acting. And it's going to come to a place where it's vogue, where it is in style for children to be disobedient to their parents, the ones that brought them into this world, the ones that fed them, the ones that nourished them and brought them to a place where they could be blessed. They were disobedient, and the Bible says unthankful. Amen. Now I'll tell you, we've got to examine our heart today, because there is one side of judgment and then there is the other side of judgment. On one side is the ark, and that's where I want to be. Praise God. And on the other side is what I do with my life and how I live my life on a daily basis. Are we thankful today? You don't have to say amen. Praise God. Are you really thankful this morning for what God has given to you? I want to be thankful every day. I am thankful this morning because what I have, God has given it to me, and it is a blessing. And then again, he says, without natural affection. And so we see the rise today of perversion, sexual perversion that is in our world. And the law states that whatever two consenting adults do in private is their own business. Well, I want you to know that we have that liberty today, but it is not the liberty that we have from the Word of God. Amen. There is a code of morality that the Word of God gives us, and we don't apologize for it because it is the Word of God. They are without natural affection. Amen. Just recently, just in the last week or two, a governor in Virginia, the governor, I believe it was of Virginia, boasted and shouted and was so excited because they passed a resolution, passed a law in their state that once a child is born, the mother and the physician can consult about it. And if the mother says, I don't want the child, they can kill a newborn child that is breathing and living just like you and I can. I'm telling you, we are seeing the rise of death. And you say, well, it can't happen to us. I'm telling you, just get a little documentary on World War II and what happened in World War II. We're only about 70 years away from that, where there was mass killing. Probably close to 100 million people perished in that one war. Amen. And it was because someone, Adolf Hitler in particular, and then the leaders of Japan as well, that we are going to do what we want to do. We are going to conquer the world. We are going to set up a one-world government in this world under us. Amen. You say, well, that's them. Well, I want you to know we can have the same attitude within our heart, within our very home. Amen. I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to get what I want to get. It is the same spirit that we have seen in history that has tried to rise up, and it was the same spirit that was in the days of Noah. Amen. Truce breakers, false accusers. Oh my, haven't we seen that? False accusers just try to do something in a political realm and get ready for accusations that are not true. Incontinent, that means without self-control. Fierce, That would be those that would be so angry that they would do anything to hurt someone else. Despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's what's going to take place in the last days. And if you're paying any attention at all, you'll understand that this is what's happening in our generation, in our world today. Amen. It's happening in our world today. You say, well, it's just in America. No, it's not in America. Abortion is in many, many other countries. I hate to even guess how many millions of children have been destroyed because somebody wanted to do what they want to do. And it doesn't matter what the other individual thinks about it. China has had a one-child policy for many, many years. They're trying to control their population. And if you have a child and you become pregnant, you have to have an abortion. Who knows how many unborn children are going to cry out on the day of judgment that they were slaughtered by those that only cared about themselves. Amen. I'm telling you, it's exactly what we read in the news every day. We have today a degenerate world, amen, that is heavy, heavy with sin, heavy with iniquity. And as Winston Churchill wrote, I'm reading one of his books right now, and it's called The Gathering Storm. And little by little, it wasn't an overnight situation that World War II developed, but it was a incremental situation where Germany began to ignore a little bit of the treaty that they had with France and with the United Kingdom. And instead of pushing against them, they said, well, it's not that bad, and they let it go. And then they pushed against the treaty in another area. And again, they were tired because of World War I, and they said, it's really not that bad. We'll get through this. It'll be okay. Until the day came when Germany invaded Poland, and it started World War II. And before it was over, there was nothing but piles of rubble, cities burned down to nothing, bombs dropping, missiles dropping, and all of that. Amen. It happened in a day. They let it go for so long, but then the day came that it started. That's exactly the way it's going to be when the judgment comes upon this earth. Amen. All of a sudden, something is going to take place. And here we are, we're going to be right in the big middle of it. I'll tell you where I want to be when that happens. I want to be praying. Amen. I want to be in my word. Praise God. I want to be living for the Lord and doing the will of God when all of this comes down, because it will come down. Isaiah chapter 24 and verse 20. The Bible says that the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Amen. Some say that it is just a natural movement of the earth, the ring of fire where all the volcanoes are erupting, and all of the destruction that's going on because of that, that it's a natural part of the earth. Well, maybe it is. But I'm telling you, there is a time, there's going to be a breakover point. There's going to be a point where all of a sudden things are going to change in this earth. And the Bible says it will reel to and fro like a drunkard. In other words, it will It will go back and forth. In another scripture, it says that the days will be shortened and the days will be lengthened. Amen. It speaks of a world that is now spinning. Instead of spinning straight, it is spinning crooked. And it is simply because the transgression of the earth will be heavy. Amen. It will throw it out of equilibrium. It will throw it out of its natural course, and it will begin to go in another direction. And the Bible says it shall fall. You say, well, that's fairy tale. That can't happen. I'm telling you what, today the flood happened, and it happened by the direction of God Almighty. And when the judgment comes the next time, it's not going to be by a flood of water, but it's going to be by fire. And I'm not going to go there this morning. But in the midst of the gathering storm, there's still people who believe the Word of God. Is there anybody that believes the Word of the Lord this morning? I believe the Word of God today. Noah was saved. Think about this. He was saved without a Bible. He didn't have a Bible to read. Amen. But most of us have more than one. I've got three or four myself. Amen. Noah was visited by the Lord and given dimensions and warnings of those things to come. We have the dimensions of our salvation today right here before us. And it is the direct, exact Word of God that has been given to us with dimensions on our salvation. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Is that exciting this morning? To me, it's exciting. It takes a while to build that ship. You start out with the blueprint. Amen. That's where we all started out. Right here, we read the blueprint, and we said, wow, I want to get involved in that. But just because we started and we got involved in it doesn't mean that we're going to finish the job. But Noah finished the job, 120 years. I looked at that replica of the ark in Kentucky, and my mind just went to three sons and a man, and they're chipping away at the wood, and they're making different pieces and all of that. And I thought, my goodness, what a committed group of individuals they were. They believed God with all of their heart. 120 years. It got tiring at times. It got old at times. But they had to go all the way back again and again and again to the original blueprint. Dad, are you sure you heard from God? Son, God spoke to me. It's going to take place. It's going to happen. We can see the signs all around us, son. Get your nose back into the blueprint, and let's see if we can build that next section this week. Amen. Let's see if we can get a little bit further down the road on this project. And when it was all said and done and it was ready to go, amen, God shut the door. Amen. They stayed in the ark for about 7 days, and all of a sudden the rains began to come. I'll tell you what, there was rejoicing, but there was also weeping. And I think maybe that's why the Bible says that he will wipe all the tears from our eyes. The Jewish historian Josephus said that when Noah entered into the ark and the flood came, that he began to weep. Amen. And he wept for those that he loved. He wept for those that did not believe. And when he saw the destruction of the whole world, it was so upsetting that all he could do was weep about it. But I guarantee you there was a space in time where they stopped weeping and they began to rejoice. Amen. We are saved. Praise God. We are saved from the judgment that is coming and is here upon our world. And just as Noah and his family was lifted up by the water, Amen. Above the destruction, the church is going to be lifted up away from the destruction. We are not called unto wrath today, but we are called unto victory. Amen. And salvation. Matthew 24 and 40. This is right after our text scripture that we read this morning, all the way down to verse 39, but then we'll start verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. Now this, he just got through talking about Noah and the coming judgment, and it almost seems like he's switching gears, but he's not. It's in the same vein of thought. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Praise God. Grinding at the mill. That was a common job of that day. Two are going to be in the field. That was a common job of that day. They got up in the morning. They went to work. When it was over with, they went home and they had dinner and they rested. You know, we're creatures of habit, and we get caught up in our habits. Amen. You can get in your car and get to work and not even realize where you've been. How'd I get here? Well, I drove to work. Amen. But I've done this 100 times, and after a while it becomes ordinary. It becomes common, and we don't think about things that are important sometimes. Jobs are important. I don't mean it that way. But he said they're going to be grinding at the mill. You're going to be sitting at your desk, at your computer. You're going to be in your work clothes, and you're going to be fixing something. You're going to be doing the things that you do on your job, and all of a sudden there will be the shout and the voice of the archangel. Amen. And we are getting out of this world. And as a snare upon the earth, a snare is a trap. Amen. I've got some traps at the house. I was trying to get my armadillo with the trap. And I'm telling you, I wouldn't want to get my arm in that trap. It's a heavy-duty deal. And I set the trap, and I found out it was snapped, but it's like a mouse trap. Have you ever tried to set a mouse trap? Those things make me nervous. Somebody said, well, just use a glue trap. I don't like those. Let's just get rid of them right now. Don't make them suffer. All of you folks that are compassionate to animals, amen. I've come up a little bit in your estimation. Snap. A snare. Shoo. Like a deer that's going through the forest. Have you ever seen someone hunting them with a bow and arrow? I saw it. I was in Cabela's and I saw a hunter, and he was up there and the deer was down there. And when the opportunity was right, he let it go. And in a half a second, that arrow pierced through the side of that deer, went through its heart, and exited out the other side. It was like, choo, and you saw the dust on the other side of that deer. He did not even know what hit him. He was going through his regular day, and all of a sudden it came upon him. Amen. The Bible says that's the way the hour of the Lord is going to take place. And it will be like a snare that will come upon the world. And once the snare comes upon the world, there will be no turning back. Let's look at it. Another scripture. I got two more scriptures this morning. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. And it says this, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord this morning. "That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or are dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I got a feeling this morning that some are going to be comforted and some are going to be cursed. Amen. Some are going to rejoice when the trumpet sounds, but not everybody's going to hear the trumpet. Not everybody is going to understand what's taking place in their world. They're not going to hear anything. They're not going to understand at all what took place. All they're going to see is their world spinning out of control overnight. What we need today is to live for God. 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21. Turn with me, and we'll finish with this here this morning. And it talks about Noah and the ark. Here's another prophetic area of the ark. And it says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, in other words, during about 120 years, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Amen. They were excited about that, but I'm glad we've got more than eight here this morning. And I'm glad that it's beyond my family. It's not our four and no more. Amen. I'm glad it's beyond our family. But the best that Noah could do was to save himself and his family. Amen. Jesus said in one place that he would cut the time short so that the very elect would not be deceived. It might come to the place, church, where it's just you and God. You say, well, how could that happen? We've got a church. We've got a pastor. We're all set up here. We've got this thing going here where we can minister to our children, minister to other people. I want to ask you this morning, what will take place? What will take place if all of a sudden it is against the law for you to come to church? There will be people in this world that will not have a church to go to and will not have a Bible to read that will go in the rapture because they got close to God and it was a personal thing. It was a one-on-one thing. I want to ask you this morning, where are you with God this morning? Well, I've got time. Don't be fooled by that. Don't be fooled by thinking I've got plenty of time and I can change things. I'm going to go home today maybe and get it changed. Maybe tomorrow, I'm not really sure. Well, it's not that really that big of a deal, but it is a big deal this morning because when the flood comes, when the destruction comes upon this earth, amen, it's going to be worse than Noah's day. Jesus said there will be a tribulation that the world has never seen and it will never see again. It'll be worse than Noah's day. Amen. It will be worse. Which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, praise the Lord. It's a picture of baptism and how baptism lifts us up out of this world into another world. Praise God. And when they came back down, they came back down to a new earth. I'm not going to get into that here this morning. But Sister Reed, if you would come this morning. We're in a time of great uncertainty. And I pray this morning, I really do, I pray with all of my heart that we can filter out the noise of this world. somehow filter out the noise of this world, amen, and say, I'm just going to focus my attention on the most important thing, serving God. Serving God. I want to live for God. I want to make it count. I want to make a mark. Amen. I want to make a mark. Praise God. Do you feel that way this morning? Are you just interested in being a church member? Or are you just interested in doing the things you've just done year after year after year, and your prayer life slips away, your commitment to God slips away, things that used to be very important that you worried about, you don't worry about anymore. It's not that big of a deal. I've got a plan B if things don't work out. I'm telling you this morning, what we've got to have is a dedicated commitment to God. Amen. What's the job today? The job today is to cut that board, son. Get it nice and flat. We've got a spot for that. We've got to put it up there. All right. I've done this to many boards, but I'll make another one, and then another one, and then another one. Hundreds and thousands of them were required to build that ship. Cages for the animals. Oh, my mind is still going back to Kentucky, where we walked through that ark and we saw all of that. It really happened, folks. 8 people built that ship, and it was the salvation of the animals. Isn't it amazing? The animals knew enough to come and get in the ark, but the people didn't have enough sense to get in the ark. Amen. I don't know. I'm not even going to go there this morning. But I'm telling you today, we've got to have enough sense to say, I want to get in the church. I want to stay in the church. I want to live for God with all of my heart. And that means that if it's the same board, I got to cut another one the same size. I've got to do it all over again. Pastor's going to preach on Acts 2:38 again. I've heard this. I've read this. I've seen the dimensions. I could probably almost preach it as good as he could. But I'm telling you today, it all adds up. It's all adding up. And all of a sudden we say, wow, look at this. We're not turning this into an antique museum. We're not turning this into a playhouse. We're not going to turn this into some commercial situation for money making. No, look at what we've got. We're almost finished. I can't believe that we're here. I can't believe that we've gotten this far on this project. There's been a lot of difficulties. There's been a lot of setbacks. There's been a lot of smashed fingers, a lot of splinters of wood that's gotten in our hands. We've got calluses. We're brown with the sun. Amen. And not to mention the crops that we've got to raise and the clothes that our wives have to make and all of the things that added up to make the ark what it was. Praise God. Are you willing to go that far this morning? Are you willing to go that far? Or are you going to go the way of the world, the way of all flesh that seems to be going in that wide and broad way? Amen. On Broadway, it's a wide way. It's inclusive. It'll take anybody. Amen. They'll welcome you with open arms, with music and singing. Oh, come on. We've been waiting for you. It's going to be great. But all of a sudden, a snare, and it's too late. It's too late. I don't want to wait until it's too late. I want to get busy right now and do the very best that I can. Praise God. And if all I end up with is 8, I can stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I did my very best. I did my very best. Maybe somebody else will have 16. Maybe somebody else will have 100 or 1,000. But I did my best. And I can feel good about that, that I did my very best with what God gave me. Let's stand together this morning, can we? Can we lift our hands as we just talk to God this morning? Lord, I pray that this message will get into our hearts. I pray this morning, Lord, that you've already warned us. You've already told us that this is going to happen. You've showed us by the Word of God. Lord, you've given us example after example of what's going to take place. I ask you this morning, Lord, let it be real in our mind and in our hearts. In the name of Jesus this morning, in the name of Jesus this morning, we lean on your presence. We lean on your touch this morning. Help us today. Help us today. And if you haven't given your life to God, why don't you give your life to God this morning? If you're just staying around the edges, don't get around the edges. Just give your life to God. Serve God with all of your heart. Trust God. Trust the Word of God. Make it your life calling. Praise God. Make it the thing that you live for. Day after day after day, you won't regret it. You won't regret it. Praise the Lord.